Today is St. Patrick's Day, and you know, St. Patrick was supposed to run all the snakes out of Ireland. I think what really happened, he got them off of booze, and they quit having DTs where they see the snakes. But I'm wearing my shamrock this morning anyway. I saw in the paper this past week that 200 supposed scholars had voted on what the real words of Jesus were. I thought that was pretty presumptuous that men 2,000 years after the fact would decide whether the sayings of Jesus were really said by him or not. The liberals do everything they can to undermine Scripture. I heard about a liberal man that preached in a conservative church, and he was explaining that the Red Sea was really should be properly translated in Hebrew, the Sea of Reeds, and that it was no miracle that Moses had led the children of Israel through the Sea of Reeds, that the water was only probably 2 inches deep. And the man in the back shouted, "What a miracle!" And he said, "What do you mean, what a miracle?" And he said, "Well, God drowned Pharaoh's army in 2 inches of water." We believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule of faith and practice. We believe it is the Word of God. It doesn't just contain it. It is the Word. Will you turn, please, to the book of Ephesians, to chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at verse 15. Read to the end of the chapter, verse 33. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 15. Be very careful then how you live. Paul is talking about what it's like to be a Christian. How does a Christian live out his lifestyle for Jesus Christ? Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And what is the Lord's will? Here it is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when you're Spirit-filled, there's the kind of relationship you have to others. You're speaking and singing and making music, and you submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, in the Christian lifestyle, he's going to explain how you live out submission to one another, in the family particularly. And he says, first of all, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. But since submission is mutual, we expect him to say next, husbands, submit to your wives. But he doesn't do that. He goes beyond submission and says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. And so the man is instructed to love his wife, but the wife is not instructed to love him, just to respect him. However, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Our meditation this morning is entitled The Love Leader, Sermon Number 2. Our text is verse 26. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. To his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Father, as we think together about being Christians and how to live out our Christian lives, use this scripture to give us insights that will help us be the people that you want us to be. And we ask that in Christ's name, our great example. Amen. Now, last week when I was writing my sermon on the love leader, I did not realize that I would not be able to finish it, and as a matter of fact, I won't finish it today. I have at least two more sermons that I'll be preaching out of this text. The next sermon in this series will deal with the role of the wife and the mother in the Christian family. I realize that there are those of you who are single and you have special circumstances. I will be addressing that where you are a single parent or a single person. Also, I realize that there are those of you who have a spouse who may not be Christian, and that impacts the structure of your family, and I will be talking about that in the future as well. Let me review briefly for you the main points of my sermon from last week so that we will all be starting at the same place this morning. And incidentally, if you were not here last week, copies of the sermon are available in the narthex and in the lobby. And even if you were here, you may also take a copy. My first point was that for us to be what God wants us to be in our interpersonal relationships, and especially within the husband-wife relationship, we must be filled with the Spirit. That is the condition that St. Paul lays down in our scripture for this morning. We cannot be what God wants us to be on our own. It is only when we have the empowerment of the Spirit that we can begin to live out the life the way God wants us to do it. My second point was that as Christians, the husband and wife are to submit to each other. That means simply that for a marriage to work, for a marriage to succeed, both partners must work at putting the other first. However, my third point was that while Paul goes on to spell out mutual submission between husband and wife, and while he does tell the wife to be submissive to the husband, the fact is, when he comes to the husband, he goes beyond submission and requires that a man give his wife agape love. And agape is the Greek word used principally in the New Testament for the English translation, love. Then I went on to talk about the three principal kinds of love. First, there is phileo love, which is the kind of love you have for your best friend. And I said that a husband and wife ought to be best friends with each other. And if they're not best friends, something is wrong in that relationship. Second, there is eros love, which is the sexual love that two people have for each other within the confines of a marriage. And I said that this is an important part of the relationship between husband and wife. But the third kind of love is agape love, A-G-A-P-E in English, agape love. And agape love is the kind of love that God has for you and me. It is love that is uncaused, undeserved, unmerited, and really unexpected. Now, the point about agape love is that within any human relationship, there will come those times when there is friction, when there is disagreement, when there is anger. And it may very well be that this morning, as you were getting ready for church, there arose some anger, some friction or tension over something that happened this morning. Or maybe one didn't get the umbrella and the other did. Now, how does that friction and irritation get resolved? How are the results of those kinds of breakdowns in a relationship going to be overcome? And the fact is, the Bible puts the duty on the man in that case. He is the one who takes leadership in agape love. He is the one who must be Christ-like even when the other person doesn't deserve it or isn't worthy of it or hasn't earned it. So in the Christian home that is based on biblical principles, the man is the head of the house, but the headship is to be Christ-like headship, because the Bible says, husbands, agape love your wives, just as Christ agape loved the church and gave himself up for it. The first thing I want to do this morning is to share with you the nature of man's headship in the family. What is Christ-like headship? The first point, then, I want to make is this. Christ-like headship is not the exercise of authority. Now, let me say that again. Christ-like headship is not the exercise of authority. Let me give you some scripture verses that make this point. Over in Matthew, in chapter 20, Jesus makes this statement himself. He says, quote, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Unquote. Now, there's a parallel passage just like that in Mark as well, in chapter 10. Here is another description of Christ-like headship from Jesus himself. Here's the scene. It's recorded in the 13th chapter of John. Jesus and his disciples are together for the last time. They're in the upper room preparing to celebrate the feast of the Passover, and Jesus is going to inaugurate the Lord's Supper. And before he does this, he washes their feet. And then he says to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" And then he explains, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." Then Jesus says this, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." He concludes, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So here is the kind of headship that Jesus wants us to have. But not only did Jesus himself describe Christ-like headship, but the early Christian community understood that as well. For example, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, we read, "Serve one another in agape love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other," unquote. And let me make a comment about that last statement. That is what is happening to a lot of marriages and to a lot of families. There is biting and devouring, and people are simply destroying each other. And what is the reason? Because there is no agape love. Isn't that always the case? When there is no agape love, human relationships start breaking down, families start breaking down, marriages start breaking down. And who is the responsible love leader in all of this? Why, it is the man, the husband, the father, who is the Christ-like love leader as the head of the family. Let me give just one more illustration from Scripture. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, Peter has been talking about those who are shepherds of God's flock that is under their care. And how are these shepherds, these leaders, supposed to exercise their headship? Peter writes, "Not lording it over them entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Now, I want to say to you men, God does not call you to lordship. He calls you to servantship. God calls you to Christ-like servanthood, where you are to be an example of agape love to those entrusted to you. Could I just emphasize that word, entrusted? We men need to understand that our wives and our families are a trust from God. And just as He's going to call us to give an account of our stewardship, of our resources, of our stewardship, of our lifestyle, He's going to call us to give an accounting of the stewardship of our families, for they are a trust from God. And there is a promise attached when we men are faithful to do that. Peter writes, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. But then he adds, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And that's the promise if we are faithful stewards to what he's entrusted to us. So the first point is that Christ-like headship is not the exercise of authority. Rather, it is the exercise of servanthood. It is the exercise of agape love. And the husband is the love leader. The second point I want to make this morning is this. You can't agape love your wife if you don't love yourself. Isn't that what our scripture for this morning says? It says, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. Is it wrong to love yourself? The Bible doesn't think so. We just read a quote from Galatians. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus himself said the same thing. Over in Matthew, in chapter 22, Jesus was asked what the greatest command in the Jewish law was. And he replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands, unquote. So we are to love God, and we are to love our neighbor, but we are also to love ourselves. Now, you would think that everybody loves himself, but that isn't always true. I know many successful men who keep trying to be even more successful, not because they need the money, but because they think others will like them or admire them if they accomplish more and more. But the fact is, they don't like themselves. They are driven people. They are trying to win admiration and respect and acceptance. They don't feel comfortable with who and what they are, and they keep trying to win love and admiration. Why does a man push his family around? Isn't it to give him a sense of power? Because at work, or in the business world, he feels powerless. Why does the man have an affair? Very rarely is it sexual need, but it is a need to prove to himself that he's a person of worth, that by conquering sexually, he's proving he is a worthwhile person, that he is attractive and acceptable to someone. The same thing is true of a man who does violence and rape to women. It is not a matter of sex at all, but it is a matter of control and power, because he doesn't feel good about himself. And in his anger and his rage, he reaches out to dominate and to control and to shame someone else. It meets a tremendous ego need to be in control, to win, to dominate someone. But the real problem is that he doesn't love himself. You see, not only must a man give agape love to others, he must also accept agape love for himself. I hope that makes sense to you. If I can't love myself with all of my needs, my shortcomings, my failures, if I can't love me with all of my warts and blemishes, I'm not going to be able to love other people in that way either. If I can't forgive myself, if I can't accept myself, then it is not likely that I will be able to forgive others or to accept them either. Now, for you men, that has strong implications. And it goes back to what I said in the beginning. You can't be the person God wants you to be unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't have agape love for others until you have experienced agape love for yourself from Jesus. And if your marriage is in trouble this morning, if your home life is not what it ought to be, if there is discord and bickering and fighting and friction and tension in your home, you can't have agape love until you yourself experience the incredible agape love of Jesus, until you get yourself right with Him. And if there's problems in your home today, its roots will lie in a breakdown in your relationship to Jesus Christ. That means quite simply, until you are a Christian and until you are filled with the Spirit of Christ, where you have received His forgiveness, His love, His redemption, His salvation, you can't give agape love. You can't give what you don't have. And that's why you can't love others unless you also love yourself. And that's what St. Paul means in our scripture for this morning when he writes, "Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." So my first point was that Christ-like headship is not the exercise of authority. It is the exercise of servanthood. It is the exercise of agape love. But my second point was that you can't give agape love until you have experienced the agape love of Jesus and can love yourself. My third point is this: the function of biblical headship, the function of Christian leadership is, and listen carefully, is to empower others for service. The function of the love leader is to empower others for service. Now, in order to help us understand this, we must understand some background. And here is point A for background. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on women as well as men. In Acts chapter 2, we're told that the believers, men and women, were gathered together in one place when the Holy Spirit came from heaven. And as the Bible says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And then it adds, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when Paul got up to explain to the onlookers what had happened, he explained that this is what had been predicted by the Old Testament, and he quoted Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So point A is that the Spirit is given to both male and female. Point B, for background, is this. Just as women are given the Holy Spirit, as are men, women are also given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this of course is the chapter about spiritual gifts, St. Paul writes, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And then he begins to enumerate the various gifts of the Spirit. So gifts are not limited to men, but they are given to all Christians for the common good. As St. Paul adds, he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now with that background, let me reiterate my original point. The function of Christian leadership is to empower others for service. The duty of the love leader, the husband, the father, is to make it possible for the other members of the family, especially the wife, to exercise the spiritual gifts that the Spirit gives to them. Now let me spell that out in some practical terms. In the home, a couple should share the responsibility of leadership based on the gifts that each has been given. The husband's responsibility is to permit and to help the wife give expression to the gifts God has given her. Now, I don't know what gifts a particular person might have because, as the Bible says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. And I suspect, however, that most men are perfectly aware of the kinds of spiritual gifts that God has given their wives. But the point is this. The function of male headship in the family is to be the love leader and to provide the kind of leadership where he empowers others for service, where he empowers them to exercise the gifts that the Spirit has bestowed upon them. When Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister of England, I not only admired her, but I especially admired her husband. Here was a love leader who provided an atmosphere, an environment, where his wife was free to exercise her gifts of administration. He had enough agape love that he could permit and enable his wife to be in the limelight without himself being threatened. And I always thought that he would be the kind of person that I would really like to get to know. So I want to ask you men, you love leaders this morning, are you providing the environment where your loved ones, and especially your wife, has the opportunity to exercise the spiritual gifts that God has given her? Are you cultivating those graces, those Christian attitudes, so that you are free to let your loved ones be all that God has called them to be? Charles A. Boyle, a sales representative, was driving home one day when he saw a group of children selling Kool-Aid on a corner in his neighborhood. They had posted the typical hand-scrawled sign over their stand, "Kool-Aid, 10 cents. Carl was intrigued. He pulled over to the curb. A child approached and asked if he would like strawberry or grape Kool-Aid. Carl placed his order and handed the boy a quarter. After much deliberation, the children determined he had some change coming and rifled through a cigar box until they finally came up with the correct amount. The boy returned with the change, then stood by the side of the car. He asked if Carl was finished drinking. "Just about," replied Carl. "Why?" The boy replied, "Well, that's the only cup we have, and we need it to stay in business." Listen, you love leaders. You're the only cup your family has. They really need you to stay in God's business.